Well, welcome back, everyone. Are you glad to be back? Yes, good, isn't it? I'm kind of getting back in practice myself because Byfleet's been back open since Easter Day, so I'm starting to remember what it is to take a service in front of people rather than in front of a camera. Yes, welcome to you all. We still await instructions about what tomorrow's move to the third phase of the reopening means for churches. So I apologise for that. What happens, perhaps I should have said this at the notices later, but I'm going to say it now. Every time the government changes the coronavirus regulations, you then have to wait a few days for them to issue their interpretation of that to the churches and other religious groups. And then the churches, nationally, have to do their own version. So that's where we're at. The stage three instructions are not with the churches yet. As soon as we know what that means, I know we're all getting nervous about the Indian variant and everything, but as soon as we know what that means in terms of changes and relaxations of procedures, we will let you know. One of the best and quickest ways we can get around it is the church email list. So if you have an email address that you haven't given to Yvette or me, and you wouldn't mind us having it, that can be our quickest way of communication. We still, phone people and do other things, of course, but that's our fastest way of getting a message about. Right. Are you ready to worship God? Thursday was Ascension Day. Jesus said to the disciples, "I am going to send you what my Father has promised, but stay in the city until you have been clothed with power from on high." And so when at Ascension we celebrate that Jesus is reigning at the right hand of the Father, we're therefore going to listen to the hymn, "Jesus is King and I Will Extol Him."
Thank you.
us pray. We come with joy to praise you this morning, Lord. Joy not only because it's our first time gathering for in-person worship in months, but joy at this special time of year when we remember that Jesus has ascended to your right hand and he reigns over the universe, over this earth, over all beings, over us. And he is head of your church. We bring you our praise. In Jesus, your kingdom is established. It may not be here in all the ways that it will be one day, but your kingdom is here, for Jesus is reigning. And yet, as we bring you praise for the reign of Jesus, that same truth leads us into confession as we acknowledge all the ways in which we have not responded faithfully to Jesus as King, where we have willfully disobeyed, where we have neglected to do something or to love, where the deep thoughts and attitudes of our heart have been unworthy. But we confess these things, knowing that Jesus, who reigns at your right hand, was reigning on the cross. And as we confess, we are forgiven through the power of what Jesus did at the cross. We are made new, as Jesus' body was when it was liberated from the tomb. And now, by your Spirit, you enable us to live in a new way, to receive your peace and your love, and to look forward in anticipation to the day when every knee shall bow and every tongue confess Jesus Christ as Lord, to the glory of God the Father. Amen.
Sorry, I forgot to pick up a microphone for myself, but just to welcome you all here today, and how lovely it is to see you all in person, not on a screen or over a telephone, but a big hug to everybody. It's so nice to see you today. If I could just, there are no notices as such, but I want to give a big thank you to all those who've been here this week cleaning the church ready for us to have our service today. Thanks to Jill for the flowers in memory of her sister-in-law Sylvia. Thanks to Linda for all that she does. And big, big thank you to John, who's going to be playing for us for as long as he can, until Ian possibly is back with us. So we give thanks. We just look forward to being able to see to Ian, which might come soon, we hope. So that's it. Thank you.
Thank you, Shirley. So we're going to hear a reading, and I've not picked the reading for the Sunday after Ascension. I've picked the Gospel reading for Ascension Day itself. And Jill is going to read that for us.
This reading is from Luke chapter 24, verses 44 to 53. He said to them, "This is what I told you while I was still with you. Everything must be fulfilled that is written about me in the law of Moses, the prophets, and the Psalms." Then he opened their minds so they could understand the scriptures. He told them, "This is what is written: the Messiah will suffer and rise from the dead on the third day, and repentance for the forgiveness of sins will be preached in his name to all nations, beginning at Jerusalem. You are witnesses of these things. I am going to send you what my Father has promised, but stay in the city until you have been clothed with power from on high." When he'd led them out to the vicinity of Bethany, he lifted up his hands and blessed them. While he was blessing them, he left them and was taken up into heaven. Then they worshipped him and returned to Jerusalem with great joy, and they stayed continually at the temple, praising God. Thanks be to God.
Thank you, Jill. We'll think about that reading in a moment, but first we're going to hear the Noel Richards song, "All Heaven Declares." Let us pray. Lord, as Jesus reigns and we celebrate that fact, so may he send your Holy Spirit among us, that we may understand your word, that we may be encouraged and strengthened to live as servants of your kingdom. For we ask this in the name of our King, Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. You know, the story of the Ascension is an intimidating one. And one of the times I felt intimidated about it was when I was a theological student in Bristol. And although I was at this Anglican college, the minister of the local Methodist church invited me to come and fill his pulpit on the Sunday after Ascension. And we had that reading that Jill read for us. What intimidated me that morning wasn't just the theme. It's that as I looked up in the back pew of the church, was Bristol University's Professor of New Testament following the reading in his Greek New Testament. Really, oh gosh, you've got to get it right this morning, Dave. And of course, because it expresses the ascension in ways that, you know, we might think differently about heaven and earth. You know, we have to cope with this idea that, you know, Jesus has accommodated himself to people of his time so that they understand he's returning to his Father. And then, you know, and I don't know how he'd do it today, but there he is. He leaves the disciples waiting. You know, I'm going to send you what my Father has promised, but stay in this city until you've been clothed with power from on high. Now, what are you like at waiting? Sometimes it can be quite exciting when you're anticipating something. Although in our family, it might be, I can't wait, tell me what the present is. I'm not going to tell you who says that. Other times, though, it can be difficult. Lord, when are you going to put this right? When are you going to do what you promised, Lord? Do you ever feel like that in your prayers? And at those times, waiting can be frustrating and stressful, can't it? You know, I may have told you this story before, but there was an incident when I was a child of primary school age, and in the school holidays one year, my classmate Tony came round to play with me, and we lived opposite a park, and so Tony and I went over to the park to play that morning. But we got surrounded by bullies. Tony ran away. How do you think I felt? What I didn't know was why Tony had run away, especially as he was bigger and stronger than me. He'd gone back to our house to fetch my dad. The waiting was awful, but the result was great. And sometimes the Christian life is like that. You know, we may not have to wait for the Holy Spirit like the first disciples did, but there are still times when God calls us to wait for his blessing, aren't there? So how do we wait well? And I want to share with you two things in the reading that help us to wait well. The first is this, and I never thought it this way until I read something this week. The first is that the disciples are blessed people. They are blessed. When he had led them out to the vicinity of Bethany, he lifted up his hands and blessed them. While he was blessing them, you know, in the middle of the prayer, he left them and was taken up to heaven. That's how Jesus leaves them, with a blessing upon them. But what does it mean to be blessed by God? Well, essentially, if God blesses you, you have received his favor. I guess the most dramatic example in the Bible is the archangel Gabriel turning up when the Virgin Mary has got her hands deep in the fairy liquid and greets her as highly favored and says, "The Lord is with you." Now, that is a blessing. Well, it's a blessing and a half, really, isn't it? You know, at the end of a service, when I pronounce a blessing, what I want for each one of you is that you might leave knowing that you are favored by God. Because that's the good news, isn't it? That we sinners are favored by God. Do you believe that? Good. It forms our core identity as Christians. It's the most important thing about us, that through no merit of our own, we are blessed, we are favored by God. If we don't make it our core identity, things go awry. Did I ever tell you about the local preacher I had two circuits ago? Elderly lady, she'd been a missionary at one point in her life, but she made the fact that she was a local preacher central to her whole sense of worth. But of course, the time came when her mind and body began to fail. The most telling point in the circuit for us was an evening service she took at one church where she introduced the Lord's Prayer three times. And we tried to say to her, look, Jean, you've had a wonderful ministry, but is it time to lay it down? And we would gladly hold a Thanksgiving service for your ministry in the circuit. But no, she refused. And I know it would be hard for anyone after all those years, but actually, as she declined, she just became quite bitter that she couldn't preach anymore. Well, actually, she thought she could, but she was the only person who did. If only she had recognized that she was a blessed person, that she was a beloved child of God. But equally, if you're positive, when you do realize that you're favored, that you're blessed, it can be so helpful when you wait. Now, I'm going to tell you a little thing, and I'm not going to go into great detail for obvious examples, but there was one morning this week when I received an email from someone that caused me quite a bit of stress, and Debbie will probably recognize the email I'm referring to. I was really quite anxious because I was going to have to wait some hours for the outcome of this email. In the meantime, I had to go off elsewhere. In fact, I had to go to Byfleet and take their Tuesday afternoon fellowship. And I had to do other things. But you know, in the middle of that fellowship at Byfleet, this very teaching hit me. I thought, well, what doesn't change here is that I am blessed. I am favored. I don't deserve it, but I'm a beloved child of God. So I can trust God to work this thing out. And later, God did. Now, it was a short-term thing, but I encourage you. Can you live out your identity as a son or a daughter of the living God? That he has adopted you into his family is a sign of the most monumental blessing you can possibly imagine. So, when you have to wait for God, let that truth that you are blessed hold you up. The second element I want to share with you is that the disciples are worshipping people. Because that's their response, isn't it? They worship. Then they worshipped him and returned to Jerusalem with great joy. And they stayed continually at the temple praising God. So why do they worship? Well, for sure, because they've just been blessed, but for so many other reasons. I mean, gosh, think how their minds must have changed, because as good Jews, they're not going to worship Jesus unless they think he's got divine status. And that's revolutionary for them. They now know that he is more than a prophet. At the beginning of our reading, did you notice he's taken them through the scriptures and shown them how necessary his suffering, his death, and his resurrection were. And how that news must now go out to the nations, beginning at Jerusalem. And that was a reversal, because in the Old Testament, the expectations was that the nations would come to Jerusalem to hear the good news. Now the good news radiates out from Jerusalem, and they're going to be part of it. They have these wonderful signs that God's purposes are being fulfilled and that God has kept his promise to Israel, just not in the way that was expected. And when they appreciate all that, they're filled with wonder, and the wonder comes out in praise and worship. You see it a bit later, so you come to next Sunday and Pentecost, and I guess I'm sure Graham Waugh will read Acts chapter 2, and you'll hear the description of the crowd as they're puzzled by the disciples speaking in tongues, and they say, we hear them declaring the wonders of God. That sounds like worship, doesn't it? Declaring the wonders of God. It also sounds like mission, but it's worshiping, isn't it? God is so wonderful. They're full of it. They were slow to get it during the 3 years that they followed Jesus around, but now the shackle has dropped. It makes sense. Well, how does that help us when we're waiting? It would be good for us to be reminded of the amazing ways in which God has fulfilled his purposes over the centuries, supremely in Jesus. It will be good for us to recount the promises God has made and has kept. You know, sometimes at a communion service, we do that very specifically. You know the great Thanksgiving prayer that the minister prays? If you look at the theme in those prayers, even as they vary around the Christian seasons, usually we go back to the marvels of creation, we move on to God making a people for himself and continually calling people back when we go astray, and ultimately in his sending of Jesus. The next time you're at a communion service, listen to that Thanksgiving prayer for how it recounts God fulfilling his purposes and keeping his promises. Because that's what it's about. And these are the things that fortify us, because they remind us of the great truths relating to our God. And therefore, our faith and our confidence can increase. We sing his praise, and we become more certain that he will see us through the difficulties as we wait, because he is a purpose fulfilling and promise keeping God. And his ascended Son is at his right hand praying for us, and his Holy Spirit is within us praying through us. So let us not neglect worship. We engage in it because God is worthy of our praise, but as we worship, it can build up our faith and our trust, especially when we most need it, when God hasn't yet delivered what he's promised to post. So there, two elements from the period between Ascension and Pentecost that strengthen us in those periods when we have to wait to see God at work. Do not despise the day of small things, as the prophet Zechariah said. In those days of small things, one thing is done to us. We are blessed. We are favored as adopted children of God by grace. The other we do in response. We worship, because God keeps his promises and he fulfills his plans, and he will do the same for us. So I hope and pray that as a result, each of us will be able to bear the waiting times with greater faith. Let's pray. We thank you that you are at work all the time, even though we go through seasons of life when your work is hidden from us, and when we have to wait to see it revealed, or we have to wait to receive it. Strengthen us as your church, especially in difficult times. This pandemic has been so hard for us. But you haven't given up on us. You haven't given up on your purposes. Help us to wait faithfully, to know your blessing, to respond in worship, and anticipate what you will do. Lord, in your mercy, hear us. And on this day when we celebrate Jesus as King, so we pray for the world as we see so many signs where that rain is not accepted, or where evil and suffering, pardon me, needs to be conquered. We continue to pray for those working to stamp down the coronavirus. We pray for wisdom and efficiency in countering the Indian variant and any others that may crop up. Remembering from where Jesus ascended, we pray for the land in which he walked as the conflict between the Israeli government and Hamas in the Gaza Strip continues. Lord, only your wisdom can find a way through. Lord, in your mercy. And we pray for friends and loved ones who are waiting in different ways. Waiting because their health is not what it might be. Waiting because a job has disappeared in the pandemic. Waiting because of tragedy in their families. Waiting for other uncertainties to resolve. So, as we've been encouraged to be strengthened, may they find strength in you. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. And we give you thanks, Lord, knowing that your faithful people have waited for you throughout the centuries. We think of those who have been an example to us, and we think of those who have been part of this church family. And though it's a while now, this is the first time we have gathered in this same place since Helen Baker died, and so together we give you thanks for her. May we all have the grace to be known as people who wait with faith and then act in response to your grace. Lord, in your mercy, hear us. And we sum up all our prayers as we follow the pattern of Jesus by saying together, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power and the glory forever and ever. Amen. Now, as you will have gathered as you came in, we still cannot pass an offertory plate or bag around due to the restrictions, and that's why you were invited to place your offering as you entered. So at this point, we shall simply dedicate that offering to God. Lord, we offer our gifts and ourselves to you because you have given without measure to us. And so receive these gifts and ourselves in dedication that we and those gifts may play a part in the extension of the kingdom of your Son, for we pray in his name. Amen. So the closing hymn is "There Is a Redeemer." To stand for the blessing. Christ our King, make you faithful and strong to do his will, that you may reign with him in glory. And may Almighty God bless you, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.